On Wiki Travel, the Pacific Northwest is best known for its beautiful coastline, green interior, rainy weather, and spectacular mountains. But because of all this, it's also the perfect place to go missing. My name's Carmita, and I grew up in the Pacific Northwest in Portland, Oregon. I host a podcast called Missing in the PNW. My podcast is different from others you may have heard because I focus specifically on two things. The first is that all of the missing person cases that I cover are strictly from the Pacific Northwest and Oregon and Washington. I know, the title of my podcast should have given that one away. The second thing is that my podcast focuses strictly on missing persons from marginalized communities, such as the Black, Hispanic, Native American, and Indigenous people, and the LGBTQ plus communities. You know, the ones that get absolutely no media attention. Now, I am not an investigative journalist or a reporter. I'm actually a widowed mom of three who loves true crime and has a passion for social justice. So join me in helping to spread the word on these missing person cases and help be the voice for the ones that are now voiceless. You can find Missing in the PNW on all of the major streaming apps, as well as on socials at Missing in the PNW Podcast. If you have a case you want me to cover, please email me at missinginthepnw@gmail.com or send me a message through Facebook Messenger. I hope to talk to you soon. And remember, have fun, but be safe.
Darkcast Network, bringing our indie podcasts out of the shadows.
Hello, hello, hello. Greetings, witches and beautiful souls. Welcome back to another amazing Moot Loop from the Bell Witch podcast with me, Swales, the Friendly Green Witch, a podcast all about witching in the 21st century. This is episode 45, and within this episode is an amazing interview with Madame Cesar, fantastic tea leaf reader, with her little business called The Talking Teacups. Joanne is not your average tea leaf reader. She has an unusual way of reading for you, if you should go visit her, because she uses the whole aspect of the actual cup that you pick as a tool to give you messages before she even gets to the tea. And I have had one of these readings, may I say, and Joanne absolutely blew my mind, and I knew straight away I needed to get her on to talk about this fabulous talent that she's got, and her story is incredible. And there's some really unusual and quite interesting insights into her life and how tea leaf reading can change people's lives. It's a really lovely, heartfelt discussion. It surprised me with a reading that I got from a teacup that I presented to Joanne, and she gave me this just amazing, truly deep reading, which unfortunately I just can't share because it really is very, very personal. But it's still awesome, and I think you will really, really enjoy it. In other news, I have joined TikTok as a creator and not just a consumer. The Bell Witch podcast, all one word on TikTok. Did you see that I did the live interview with the occult family last week? Oh my word, witches, I was sweating buckets. I was so nervous because it was live, and then it took me blooming ages to figure out how to actually join them on their channel on my laptop. And I had to go to the app on the phone to make it work so it didn't sound as good. And then because I don't have many followers, you couldn't see my face. You could only see the badge or the logo, whatever it is, of my TikTok account. So that was a bit like, oh, boo. Anyway, it did go well, and they were proper pros. They were really good answering questions, and they answered some questions before I'd even got round to asking them because they were just that thorough in answering, which is amazing. And I soon got more relaxed, and it turned out really well. So that will be a very special New Year's episode in early 2025 to start the year with a nice big witchy bang. I'm hoping I'm going to get enough followers to go live, and then I can do little live shows and then maybe put it as a podcast. It'll be a different way of doing it and also make a bit more connection with my listeners. So if you love the Bellwitch podcast, please would you give me a follow on TikTok. The stuff on there at the moment is just me kind of prattling about and stuff, but it is quite funny. But I'm sure, like anything, the more you do it, the better you get. I've also created a Reddit profile, but oh my God, witches, that is well beyond me. I've no idea what I'm doing on there at all. But yeah, that's the Bellwitch podcast too. Goddess help me, I am out of my depth. Also, just wanted to shout out my new Patreon members. I had a little flurry of them. I have Jolene Farron, Daniela Bernadri, I think it is, Fuzzy Cricket, Megan Flagg, Susan Perry, Bridget Carissi, Sarah Sabrina, Geneva Nolan. Oh, we've got Richard Davis as well. Thank you so much for joining as a free member. I hope you like it here. I know it's not the most busiest Patreon in the world. October's been a bit harder for me to actively put stuff on just because I've been doing one episode a week for spooky season. Therefore, the TikTok stuff hasn't come as much as I'd like it. Now I'm back to bi-weekly. I'll start to do the subscriber-only mini episodes for my Patreon subscribers. So thank you so much for supporting this witch to help me grow and improve the podcast for my lovely listeners. I absolutely love this gig, as you know, and may it continue to grow and thrive. Well, hello and welcome to the Bellwitch podcast. Do you want to introduce yourself and what your expertise is?
My name is Joanne Cesar. I'm known professionally as Madame Cesar, and Cesar is genuinely my surname. I am a spiritualist medium, so I practice within the spiritualist movement. So I'm an evidential medium. I love my tea leaf reading, and that is really my specialism. I read tarot, and sometimes I frighten myself with the tarot readings that I deliver. I've got a social work background, so a lot of people coming to me as clients, their readings are like therapy sessions, or we go back and we look at the root cause, and then we look at where else they can go to get the right sort of help to support them in their life. I'm also a trance medium, and that's where my story with spirit started when I was 3.5. I teach trance, so I mentor other mediums one-to-one, and I am part of a trance duo called The Word. A lot of what I do, people would say, is a bit off the wall, and I do have a habit of pushing myself to find weirder and more wonderful ways to actually convince people out there in the public that, you know, it's all around us, are everywhere. And I just really want to be able to demonstrate to them, look, you also can do this. So when I do teaching, I don't really like to be the teacher. I want to be known as the facilitator, the person who opens the door and says, look, go have a look in there, have a rummage in that room, see what you can find that matches your individuality. I do like to be individual. I'm not eccentric, but it's my individual delivery, my individual style, using everything that I have to bring together a spiritual service that really helps empower people and helps them find the love and light in themselves and the love and light they want to attach to in their lives. I think that's probably the best way I can describe it, but also to take away the fear of death and that bring that message of life after the death of the physical body. I absolutely 100%. My belief holds strong, even through traumas, my belief has held strong. Look, so you started me talking.
It's good. It's what we need on a podcast. It's brilliant.
And I just rattle on. So I'm sort of jack of all trades and trying to make myself master of something. But it doesn't work that way. Spirits steer you where they want. And I am very much a vessel, a channel and a servant of spirit. You know, every now and then an interest comes in and I've started spotting like wayside plants. I go down the Rotherham Navigational Canal a lot with my little dog and I spot plants and I go, "Ooh, what's that?" I get Plant Finder out on my phone and I go, "Ooh, I didn't know that." But then I realise it's the answer to a question that I've just been asking of spirit.
Ah, yeah.
When we look at its interpretation. So I think I'm sort of starting to lean a little bit towards hedge witchery.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I never thought, so I think you all know Louise Bloomer. You know, I follow her and I'm very aware of what she's doing in terms of teaching and I haven't got time to join her classes.
Amazing. That's how we met through Louise Bloomer.
Yeah.
Louise holds amazing stuff at her house, amazing classes. And there were this one class, I think, I can't remember what it was, but you were there as like an add-on and we could buy a tea leaf reading from yourself. And I had a tea leaf reading and it were just phenomenal. Everything you predicted has happened. And I'm absolutely blown away. And a couple of things you predicted happened and I'm really surprised that happened because it was just like a U-turn in my life. And then Louise is obviously me going like, "You need to get up podcast, you need to get up podcast." It's like, I will.
But yeah, it is. And it, you know, it surprises me some of the content that's in a tea leaf, in a cup for me to read the tea leaves in. And what really always astonishes me and humbles me is the number of clients who sit in front of me and they open themselves bare to me. And within an instant of walking into that room, sitting down with me, they have exposed all their vulnerabilities, all their fears, all their anxieties, and they trust me, you know. And I just like, oh my goodness, how humbling is that? Coming from a social work profession, I used to go to houses where they hated me before I walked up the path and knocked on the door. Oh, and now I use all those same skills and people just open their hearts. And I meet some beautiful people. I meet some beautiful people who just need that little bit of empowerment to actually make a decision. And I don't tell them what decision to make. It's giving them the confidence in themselves to make that decision. People come back after years and say, "Oh, my God, Joanne, that reading I had with you." And I look at them and I go, "I don't remember you. Don't remember you at all." But they remember that reading was the pivotal point to a change in their lives or a preparation for a change in their lives. And they've turned their lives around and they're living the happiest life that they are, that, you know, that they can have at that time. And I'm so humbled to be part of that journey. And I want to know, I keep putting my hand up with my guides and go, "Excuse me, when's somebody going to do that with me? When's somebody going to give me the heads up that the doo-doo's going to hit the fan?"
Oh, you're too busy serving everybody else, bless you, serving the tea.
Absolutely. To wait and listen. I'm like, "How do you like that, love? Milk, two sugars, all right then." It's funny, actually, because my partner's father passed away beginning this year. And I ended up in the kitchen making teas and coffees when we got back to the house after the funeral service. And it is like, do you know, this is just me all over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything to do with a teacup and tea leaves and I'm in there.
So you've been spiritually connected for quite a long time by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Your whole life, would you say?
Yes, I think, you know, when we look back, we can see all the pieces starting to link together and you go, "Oh, yeah, I understand that. Oh, yeah, that's why that happened. That's why that happened." And I was really lucky to be, well, really lucky, I don't know. I was dropped into a dysfunctional family. The stork, I think, missed the house I was meant to go to. Into a really dysfunctional family. I had three characters around me who were super, super supportive, very gentle folk. And then the rest were, there's a lot of infighting, backbiting, you know, cruelty and neglect. So we've got two extremes. But my maternal grandmother was actually a medium.
Okay.
Now, she was also a tea leaf reader. I didn't know she was a tea leaf reader till I was 17 at her funeral. And my sister and I were talking about how, you know, there's so many people at a funeral. She was friends with everybody. But when we were kids, she'd be sat in the kitchen talking to somebody, and another lady would come, chap on the door, open it and go, "I'll come back later." We thought that Nana was friends with everybody, but these ladies weren't friends with everybody. And Nana's friend said, "Well, you silly buggers." She was tea leaf reading.
Oh my gosh. And
as kids, we didn't know. It was normal, absolutely normal. I was 53 when I was doing a demo in my hometown of Thorn, and a woman came up to me and said, "Who's your mother?" And I told her, and she went, "So you're Mariah's granddaughter?" "Yes." "Are you the one that's always worn glasses?" "Yes." And she went, "I used to go and watch your grandmother demonstrate mediumship at the churches." And she said, "Yeah." She says, "Your Nana were a lovely medium." And yet our mother never, never shared that information with us, because it wasn't about our mother.
Yeah.
She was jealous of Nana loving other people, caring for other people. So I've sort of walked in my Nana's shadow for a lot of years, and I do still hold my Nana on a pedestal, because she was a beautiful woman, and the healing and the loving energy that came from her. And the number of times I saw her cry tears for other people, I lost count. So my first experience, sort of fulfilled experience of spirit, was about 3 and a half. I have memories. I used to stand in front of my Nana. She'd be in the armchair. I'd be stood by her knees in front of the fire. And I would get this really weird feeling. And it felt like I'd got a rubber glove on my hand and somebody was tied it tight and somebody was pumping it up. So the sensation in my fingers went weird. And I'd feel woozy. And as a kid, and even now, one of my weak spots is around my sinuses, but it doesn't follow a correct pattern, like a seasonal pattern or anything. And then, so that had happened a few times. And then I went into full trance. And the story, as I understand it, my grandfather, so Nana's husband, was on a submarine, and that submarine went on its first test dive up in Scotland, in the waters around Scotland, and it never came back up. There was a design fault. The Admiralty couldn't have bad news out because it was wartime. So they actually said it was submariner error. Now, my granddad, chief engine artificer, I still don't know what it is. I think it's like a, you know, action man or something. Him and this young lad were in this section where there was a valve. The gentleman who came, the spirit who used my whole body, my voice, everything to communicate to my Nana, was the petty officer who was sent down in one of those big old fashioned bell suits with the cables. To go into that submarine through the 30 odd men who had drowned, find that valve and undo it. Now, for years, my Nana had felt guilty, ashamed that her husband had made an error that had killed all those men. And this chief petty officer came through to say, "Mariah, it wasn't your fault. They sent me down and they told me if I didn't go down and do it, it would be treason."
Oh my God, I had no
choice. I had no choice. I know I'm nearly crying talking about it. So I had that experience. Nana then starts taking me, a little bit older, starts taking me to Moorend Spiritualist Church. I do believe, because I've met another lady who, her mum and my Nana were mates, and she said, "You used to be the medium for the night." Now, if that was now, the social services would be crawling all over us. But as a 7, 8-year-old, I was going into trance in a closed circle.
Oh, my word.
And my Nana was encouraging it.
That's amazing.
Now, all I remember is being dragged home through the streets of Moorend and my Nana going, "Don't you dare tell your granddad where you've been." I don't remember anything else, because as far as I'm concerned, I went into that church and I fell asleep because it was snuggly warm. But apparently I was doing the mediumship. Years later, it's like early 1980s, just after Nana passed away, the Admiralty actually released some records that did say it was a design fault on the sub and not a submariner error. But it had taken all those years. It had taken 40-odd years for that information to come out. And so that was my first experience of spirit. Every now and then, they do use me for trance demonstrations. I prefer not to. I prefer them just to come really close and let me keep my eyes open. You know, I do want to know who's using me, what they're doing with me, what they're going to do with me, what they're going to say. I want to know chapter and verse. because when you come back from a trance demonstration, people say, when you said, and you go, I didn't say, I wasn't even here. I was laid on a beach in Bali in a wonderful deep meditation. And people don't realize that you are so removed from yourself. But I do teach, I do mentor others. There is a guy, his life's got really busy this last few years, and he was the most incredible trance and transfiguration medium I've ever seen. But he wasn't prepared to go on platform. So I've had some wonderful students, but in that time he learned a lot about himself as well. So that was great. And then I've got my trans buddy now. So it has come full circle. It's took 58, I'm nearly 58. It took 58 years to come full circle and me fully understand. But I have never forced my relationship with spirit. I was 22 when I joined my first development circle, although I'd been in and involved and around and used as a channel and a vessel. I never actually had any formal teaching training until I was 22, because I believe it's very much about your relationship with the team of guides that work with you.
And they know, don't they? They know when you're ready and when your door's open and all that. When did the tea reading come about then? Is that relatively new, or have you been doing it a while?
I've been doing tea leaf reading. I'm in my 14th, I think it's 14 years now. I went out on the circuit doing mind, body, spirit events as a, what I call a straight medium, no devices, no tools. And people would be walking past and their loved ones would go, I want to talk to her. And I go, I can't, I'm not one of those mediums that grabs them and hooks them in, you know. And I said, they've got to come to me. Of course, they're going to people with tarot, crystals, oracles, whatever. And I thought, oh, this is so frustrating. You know, in one day I had 6 or 7 communicators lined up and I couldn't do anything about it. I left a particular event really frustrated. And I said, spirit, you are going to have to give me a gimmick to draw them in so I can say what you want me to say to them. And then that weekend, I was going away with my then partner. I think it was my birthday weekend or something. We'd gone down for breakfast on the Sunday morning. The waitress had put out this beautiful service, lovely breakfast, I remember. Big teapot, always a bonus. And he poured the tea and he went, oh, he said, it's loose leaf. There's no tea strainer. And I just went, ha ha. drink it down. I'll read your tea leaves for you. So I did. And I still say now I learned more in 10 minutes than I had in the previous 18 months. And that was the beginning of the end of that relationship. So it wasn't long after that I went down to the charity shop, got half a dozen teacups, because I knew that, like, my nana had served a community of ladies who were not particularly educated. They were hardworking, but they weren't particularly educated. They weren't particularly worldly wise. So she used whatever tea was in the pot, whatever cup was on the table. And I thought, I'm working to a different, completely different generation, completely different attitudes and belief structures. So I thought, I need to put in layers that they can't just say, oh, well, she knew that. So I thought, if I start by having a choice of designs of cups, and because my understanding of a knowledge of symbolism, I thought, you know, some distinctively different cups, shapes, patterns, designs. I thought, then if the person chooses the cup, maybe it starts to influence. And it wasn't long before I noticed that a certain type of people would pick a certain type of cup. So they get started going to themes. And then it went from half a dozen cups to, I think about, I've had a couple of breakages lately, but I still think I've got about 430. And then I've got the godmother's 2 full 12 place settings under the bed.
Amazing.
So that's how it started. And now it's ended up just like an obsession.
So everywhere you go, you're always looking for teacups.
I used to go to a beautiful tea room. It's not there anymore. And she had lots and lots and lots of lovely cups. And occasionally I would end up with one and I go, oh, I really like that one. It's shut now, so it don't matter. But where I had duplicates, where I'd had to buy half a dozen cups and saucers just because I wanted one, I would take one of my spares and swap it. And then the woman came over. We got to know her. She came over and she said, did you take a cup with you last time? And I went, yeah, but I left you one. you know, it became a standing joke. And she said, Joanne, just ask me next time. She said, I've got so many you can have. You know, and I've got friends who go in charity shops, and, you know, I've got a friend who would never have been seen dead in a charity shop. She was somewhere seasidey, and all of a sudden she's stormed into this charity shop, gone to the back where the bric-a-brac is, picked up a cup and saucer, bought it, and it's before she's outside, you know, she's outside and she's gone, what have I just done? So she gave it to me and I went, oh my God, that is fantastic. It represents this, that and the other. And she went, oh wow. So it's just a bit crazy. But I love it. And it is one of those things where it is those layers of randomness where people go, how on earth? So I can do a reading just using the teacups without the tea leaves in. Yeah, if you can imagine like a pack of cards, you've got your majors, you've got your minors, you're talking about characters and archetypes, you're talking about situations, emotions, and the cups work like that as well. So I do a stand-up demonstration. It's fast, it's a bit off the wall, as I said before. And I'll do two or three tea leaf demonstrations, and the cups get passed around with permission so other people can see what they can see in it. And then I start on just the teacups, and they're known as the talking teacups. So I'll say, just randomise it, get people to pick up, they can choose with their eyes, get other people to come up. They have to follow a technique where they keep their eyes shut. And they, when they open their eyes, the cup that they need to talk about jumps out at them. I can even tell when they have seen one with their eyes, as they, you know, as I've either been setting up or they've walked up, they'll pick it because they like it. And I go, no. I want you to pick one the way I've told you. And they go, how do you know? I said, I know when you're cheating because the cups tell me. And it is a bit crazy. I do it where I'm going to be doing one on the 26th of July. And what it is it's online. So I have a load of cups in front of me. I number them all. At the beginning of the session, everybody gets a quick look at the cups and then I number them. And what happens is people who are selected, so the person who's chairing will pick who gets the readings, make it another layer of randomness. Then the individual's asked to pick a number or pick two numbers, so where we're at and what the outcome or advice to go forwards. So if two cups are taken out from 50, the next person can only choose from 48. So if somebody decides they want a number, that number might not be there when it's their turn. But they still get the correct cup. It's never been wrong. And this is why I love my talking teacups. So crazy world of teacups and tea leaf reading with Madame Cesar.
I love it. It's great. It is. And I remember when I had a reading from you, I think we walked in a room and you'd set them all up on a table. Mm. I can't remember if you'd built them up or if they were just, I think they were built up, weren't they? Because they were loads.
Yeah. Stacked them up with the saucers.
Yeah. Mm. And it looked brilliant. It looked like proper Alice in Wonderland-ish. And I saw the one I wanted and I zoomed straight to it. And you were just like, yeah, I'm not surprised you picked that. And I was like, what?
I'll let you into a secret. With the tea leaf reading, there is a layer of intellect. So you've got your symbolism. There is a layer of knowledge. So it's that seeing the images and knowing what they mean. And again, the symbolism. You've got the scrying. So where images are not formed fully and you've got to let your mind and your eyes relax and you'll see something develop out of that clump of tea leaves. You've got your psychic. So when you walk in that room, a good medium's already made that connection with you psychically. You are giving us permission to have a fertile and a rifle in your auric field. So when somebody picks a cup and I go, yeah, not surprised, it's because I've already had a feel of your energy. Then you hold the cup, you put a more intense layer of psychic energy on that cup for me to read. And then I'm also reaching up in that to spirit and asking for your loved ones to join in as well. So it's got all these layers to it. I never thought I was that clever. And I don't know how it happens in a nanosecond, other than I love what I'm doing and I love the opportunity to support, encourage and empower others. And I think it's that love connection that makes it work.
And another thing that surprised me when I got the reading was you don't actually drink the tea, which was a bit like, oh.
Yeah.
You only put a tiny bit of tea in the bottom, don't you?
Yeah. A little bit of tea, a little bit of water, lots of people come up when I'm at Mind Body Spirit shows and they say, oh, I don't like tea. I only drink coffee. And I went, well, funny enough, you know, find me some coffee grinds. I'll read your coffee grinds. It doesn't matter. I can read the foam in the bottom of your takeaway cappuccino. If you drink black coffee, I can read, you know, you get that scum. I don't know, it's probably got a nicer word than that. But the scum that sits around the top of your cup and it drains out, I can read that. In fact, I had a cup of coffee last night and I looked at the scum of my own and there was actually a King's Guard with a Busby hat there on his horse and the horse was galloping. I was thinking, what on earth is that? And I thought, oh, well, you're all right there, love, you know. But I sometimes look in my own cup as well and I'm often surprised what I see there. If there's somebody around me, family, social connection, and I'm concerned about them or there's something happened, it don't sit right with me, I will offer to clear their coffee cup away because I can have a quick look and then it's like, yeah, I know. And now I know how to talk to you. Now I know how to bring that emotion out and get it aired so you can heal. And it is a bit naughty of me, but when it's your nearest and dearest, you can't help yourself. That's my excuse for being nosy. No, it's born from concern.
So have you got some teacups you're going to introduce us to?
I have. I have picked out four. And these four, they're not picked that often out of the collection, but they go out with me regularly. I'll start with this one because this one's just a bit of fun. Well, it's not a bit of fun because if you're on the receiving end of this, it's trouble. It's a bit old-fashioned and it's not very exciting, but it's the name of this cup. The design name is actually Whispering Grass. You're a bit younger than me, but any of the listeners, watchers who are of a certain age will remember It Ain't Half Hot Mum. And Lofty sang Whispering Grass. Whispering grass, why tell the trees? Because the trees don't need to know. It's about gossip. So this cup becomes one of gossip where whoever is my client is contending with a lot of gossips and falsehoods and misinformation around them. So that's that one. But if you see, the cup is like a little pixie ear. The handle, like a little pixie ear. What that tells me is that that gossip is like magic. Everybody listens to it. Everybody's entranced by it. So my client is actually in a victim state when they pick this cup for me. Another lovely one, a 1920s Art Deco funnel shaped.
So if you could describe a little bit what the design is for people just on audio.
Yeah, it is literally, if you imagine a funnel, it's sort of conical, an inverted cone shape. This one has a lovely picture of the plant broom. And it has some leaves that look a little bit like cannabis leaves. It is a pattern, a design that has been copied from pottery to pottery. So some are better quality than others. This is one of the cheaper ones because obviously carrying the cups around, they get smashed. It would be nice to have the Royal Albert version, which I would end up paying about 20 quid for, or this cheaper version, which is Royal Stafford, and I pay about £5, £6 for it. So, it, you know, in terms of losing them, I'm not so heartbroken with the cheap ones. This one with broom on it, it's also got a fluted edge on the top, so it's not easy to drink out of because of the shape of it. But what it talks about this cup is where my client would be using lots and lots of energy to keep people together, to keep relationships going, and be quite anxious of that. So putting a lot of effort into keeping other people happy and on track. But then we've got those sort of cannabis leaves, and they say that, you know, you're working really hard. Everybody else couldn't give a stuff. They're too laid back to care. So we come to the inside of the cup and there is a little bit more broom, but it points down the cup. And this time it's saying, come on, put as much care into yourself as you do to others. But this is really very much for that person who just desperately wants to say no and can't because either they don't know how to or they've never been allowed to by other people.
I really like this cup. I like the flute at the top. I like the form of it. Yeah. And years ago, I would have picked that because of the shape of it. Whereas now, I'm older, I know it's form over function, like it looks good, but it'd be rubbish to drink tea out of. And now I would never pick it, so you know.
So think about that. If this client is using all their energy to funnel others on their pathway, you've learned you can't funnel others. You have to discern where your energy goes. And it is that form over function. You know that this cup is not you.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Amazing.
Right, easy. Once you get your head into it, it's easy. This one's got a lovely, lovely story. It's a beautiful little, it's a proper teacup shaped one. And it's got a beautiful little water lily in full bloom. And above it, diving into it, is a kingfisher. And then it has some plant tree overhanging. And that looks like, it does look like a bit like buddleia. Or another day, it might look like willow. It changes. With spirit instruction, changes what I see. This gorgeous little cup is a replacement for one that I got. Now, the replacement is wrapped in lots of bubble wrap and it is waiting for me to reorganise my office and have a lovely shelf to put it on. This cup is like the world card in tarot. It's about completion of a project, completion, everything coming together. And I was in Harrogate Church and there used to be a lovely, lovely lady called Kath. I was doing the demonstration one night to find who's going to get a reading. Everybody's got a raffle ticket and raffle, they're drawn. So it was Kath's turn. She came down to the front and this is the design that she picked, the kingfisher and water lily. And I looked at her and I thought, oh no. And then spirit started to take over. So we didn't really do much with the tea leaves. They were talking about all the people she'd helped and about the family under these circumstances and how grateful spirit were that she stepped in. And she was able to see the difference with that family over the years. But she never crowed about the contribution she'd made. A lady came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, we all see Kath as an old lady. We needed that reminder that she is a beautiful woman and a wonderful healer. Well, that was the Saturday night. On the Friday, I got a message from the booking secretary to say, Joanne, Kath's passed away.
No.
So I'm known as the lady that delivered Kath's obituary before she passed over.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know,
I feel awful. But people needed to hear what that lady had done over her decades of involvement with spiritualism and commitment to spiritualism. I went out of my way to actually go to the lady that sold me the original cup to say, have you got another one? Because this has happened. And she went, oh. I'm sure the lady who sells me the teacups, she thinks I'm crazy. But sometimes if I relay a story or she's advertising something for sale, I say, oh, that flower actually means. And she's like, wow, you know. I've got another one of these kingfisher water lily cups that is waiting for its pride of place. And I will be forever humbled by spirit that they wanted to use me. I feel sometimes they like putting me in a tight spot. They like seeing me sweat because they know I will step up. I'll always step up. Yeah. And I'll reflect backwards. It's like, you know, the angel going where angels fear to tread. That translates to Joanne Marie Cesar. I've got one more cup to talk about. And it's a bit of a tough one, this one. A bit of a tough love one. It's called a demi-tasse because it's actually a small teacup. So if you like me and you like your tea, it's useless. You know, two gulps and it's gone. This is an intense, intense indigo blue, yeah? And it's got a lot of gold patterning round the top. Now imagine paper dollies cut out of a strip of newspaper, translated into gold round the top edge. And it's got a thick edge of gold, top and bottom, right? A little useless handle. If you've got big hands, you're not even going to hold it with your thumb and your first finger, all right? So what this cup is about my client who chooses it, struggling with other individuals who are very controlling, very much dictating, playing with their minds, gaslighting. My client would be adapting their behaviour and actually clipping back their behaviour So they become like a dumbed down version of themselves to protect themselves in all this control environment. We've got that little tiny handle that, if we call it an ear, nobody is listening to my client. So they may well have reached out and asked for help, and it's fallen on deaf ears, or they're told, oh, we can't help you with that, we've got a waiting list, whatever. I've had this cup chosen by a lady who was being gaslit by the health service. I've had this cup chosen by a gentleman whose mother was basically going out of her way to destroy his marriage. It sometimes comes in with those who are caring for and trying to support elder family members with dementias, where their behaviour becomes manipulative and demanding as well. But it is very much about family, familial control or partnership, you know, intimate partners. With it being a half cup, a demitasse, my client has learned to live on fresh air and scraps of love. It's a sad cup. We actually use this, and this is where my history as a social worker and the fact that I've had three disastrous marriages, you know, it all comes in, and we can start, it goes sad, but then we can start laughing, and then we can start planning and looking at all the options that they have got and lifting their hearts and lifting their minds and reinforcing the choices element. Yeah, so there's four cups for you.
I kind of want to show you my cup, see what you think about
then.
It.
Go on then.
Shall I go get it?
Go get it.
Right, I'm back. So I've had this cup for a while and I've just started using it. Pink, like powdery pink roses, and they're lined with gold. Really shimmery, shiny and golden.
Right. Underneath, does it say it's Bavarian or Czechoslovakian by any chance?
Oh, yeah. Czechos Republic. Original Koblet, is it? Koblet?
I know straight away from that cup. Is that your only cup or your favourite one at the moment?
It's my favourite one at the moment. Okay. Yeah. When I have tea, which isn't very often, I'm like, oh, I'm going to use my special cup.
Right. Has that got gold inside it?
No, it's white.
It's just white inside it. Okay, because the first thing I was going to say is a safety announcement. When you have cups that are a bit older and they've got lots of gold on them, it may be toxic. If the inside of the cup has got lots of gold and paint in it, and it's an older one, it's before the 1960s, then you really need to be careful having hot drinks, because it'll release some of the chemicals. And I've said this to somebody before, and she was insistent. That was her cup for her whatever ritual it was. And I said, just beware, it's of an age where it's going to have a high lead content. And she was quite hostile, because she just thought I was telling her not to use her cup. But I was, you know, it is a safety advisement, because we know these heavy metals are not good for us. Right, let's go back to the story of the cup. Czechoslovakia, okay? Two countries shoved together, the Czechs and the Slovaks. This is about where you are trying to have conversations with people who are not on the same wavelength as you. Yes, we all speak English, maybe, but their dialect and their culture and their principles, morals and values are a complete polar opposite to yours. And this is you trying to bring them together to understand. That's the first thing I know from your cup. There's all that lovely gold. There's those roses, pink, and they're tinged with gold. I know you are trying to get your message out there. And for me, those pink roses are about self-love, teaching others to love themselves and to grow and evolve and be the person that they are, the whole person. And you're tickling it up with gold, sort of titivating it with gold. And this for me is about where you actually tolerate people for a bit longer than is good for you.
At this moment, Joanne proceeded to give me the most amazing reading that was just so personal and spot on that actually made me cry. So there's a good 10-minute chunk missing, because I can't produce it. It was just so raw. So I was absolutely flabbergasted and not at all ready for this little reading that Joanna gave me off this tacky gold teacup that I'd just presented in the interview.
Oh, I love it. I love it when people do that and they go, here, do this cup for me.
That is mad.
No, see, and as a servant of spirit, I do, if I'm talking to somebody and they want to come in and it's somebody who's open to the idea, if it's somebody who's never had a message before, like bump into them in Tesco's and start chatting, we're not going to do it. But somebody like you, it's like, yeah, go on then.
Thank you for reading my gold cup. I'm not probably not going to use it anymore because of the gold.
No, it's all right. Gold's on the outside, so it's not going to harm you.
But I do put my gob on it, don't I? So, you know what I mean? I'll always be thinking about it now. It's done its job, obviously. I meant to show you it. Yeah.
Introducing the Jasper Cacao Project, your gateway to spiritual enlightenment through the power of cacao. Jasper Cacao is ethically sourced, fairly traded, organically grown, and crafted with love to bring you a truly transformative experience. The Jasper Cacao Project honours this ancient tradition by offering you the purest form of cacao, free from additives and preservatives. With every kilo sold, Jasper Cacao donate funds to the UK charity Plant Your Future, enabling farmers to sustainably grow their crops in the most eco-friendly way. Check out my bio for a discount on your first purchase, where you will receive 15% exclusive affiliate discount. Expanding love with every sip.
Obviously, you can do it with any cups. Could you even do it with a mug? Can you do it with like old school mugs or coffee cups? Or
if somebody hasn't got a teacup, I'll say, well, grab a mug. Grab your favourite mug. And it's harder to read because you've got that long edge. And it's just a case of getting the angle right. We can do tea leaf reading online. And what I ask people to do is, like 10 minutes before the appointment, I send them some instructions where to take the photographs, just so I've got a backup set. Or if it is a mug, I can't see right in that bottom corner, so I can go to the photograph to compensate what I can't actually see as the person's holding the cup up to the screen and following instructions to tilt it, turn it. It works just as good as having somebody in person. I was resistant to doing online tea leaf readings for a long time. And then obviously COVID years. And it's like, well, why did I resist? This is so easy. It's no different. And I think it was just my anxiety of not offering as good a service. Actually, you know, at the end of the day, neither of us have had to travel. Neither of us have had the stress of going into a new house with new people. And it makes it so much easier.
And it's normalised now, isn't it? I mean, because of lockdown and the generation, everybody knows what Zoom is, whereas before nobody had any idea.
I love it. There are people who, you know, elderly mums and dads ask, even the nanas and grandads, ask for a reading. We can't physically get to one another because of the distance or, you know, their lack of mobility, my appointment schedule. And so I say to them, right, well, sit at the side of them. Let's do it. I'll record it. They can have access to the recording afterwards and watch it back, so they're not expected to remember everything. And it's lovely. So it becomes a little bit of a family experience as well.
Does the person who you're reading leaves, or do they have to like create the patterns, or could you do that too?
I could do that too, right? It's like some readers with our tarot, we don't allow anybody else to touch my tarot deck, mm-hmm. but they always come out right for the client. And we could do it. And there is a medium out there that does it that way. But I feel it loses something. It's the reader telling them, not them sharing their story. And for me, very much tea leaf reading, it is that storytelling. I look at past, present, future, what makes you you. For me, it is about the whole person. Because as a reader, if I'm setting your tea leaves for you, it will be what's happening now. So and now does not stand separate to yesterday, last week, last year. Now doesn't stand separate to your future. It's the story as it rolls. I must tell you, because it's just come to mind, I have twice done being present at Mind Body Spirit events and been asked to help people with complex disabilities and cerebral palsy to have their tea leaf reading done. And I had to think about, the first time, I had to think about, how do I do this to make it a full experience for my client? Their restricted mobility actually meant that they couldn't turn the cup over like I would ask you to turn a cup over. So thought about it and I thought, right, I've got plenty of towels, plenty of bubble wrap. So got them to pick the cup. We just rested the cup on their lap with a towel underneath. Then for the turning over part, It was wrapped in a tea towel, wrapped in a towel, wrapped in another towel. So it's like football size, bigger than a football, beach ball size. And then it was right, now just push it off your lap. So it rolled like a ball. One of those readings, I had to call their partner over, and we were recording it anyway, because there was something that cropped up about safeguarding and the attitude of one of the care workers around this individual. And so we talked around that. We raised that issue with the husband so he could be advocate. He had power of attorney. He had a voice. Brilliant. The second one I did was a guy, at the time he was early 50s. He was just slightly older than me at that time. And I did exactly the same technique, and floating around somewhere was his support worker. But we did it in front of everybody, so no suspicions. He's picked the cup that I call Nice Nana, and Nice Nana brings cuddles and hugs and soothes you. This guy has rolled the ball of towels and teacup off. Started on the tea leaf reading. I've gone, no, I've got a lady here. So there's this lovely communicator from spirit. This man, as a baby, as soon as he was born and his disabilities were revealed, his mum didn't want him. So you're talking a guy who was born probably 1960, something like that. His mum didn't want him. He went into foster care. He went to this lady as a tiny, tiny baby and stayed with her until he was almost 12. Every night, that lady picked him up, cuddled him, kissed him, told him he was a clever boy, told him he was gorgeous, told him he was a good boy, settled him down to bed. At 12, he was removed and taken to a group home.
Oh.
Guess how many cuddles he'd ever had since then?
Zero.
Absolutely. So yeah. This lady was coming through and she was crying and he was crying. And I called the support worker over and I said, please listen to this. All this man needs to fulfill him is somebody who is prepared to unconditionally love him, sling their arms around him and say, oh my God, it's lovely to see you today. I said, that's all he needs. You know, because in the care that's provided now, we are discouraged to make those attachments. And it is a very, you know, it just happens. The care happens. It's hands on, but heart off. And we've got to remember that these people that we are being cared for are humans and characters. So to have this lady coming through was an absolute joy for him. It was painful, but by God, he had missed that lady every day from being 12 years old. She had never been allowed just to visit him. The arrangement was that foster care arrangement ended, and her usefulness as a fellow human ended.
Yeah.
And that was how the authorities saw it. So that'd be early 1970s. For me, again, it's a challenge communicating with, you know, learning very quickly all these different ways of communicating with somebody whose language, ability to vocalise, you know, using Makaton with the gentleman. I had to remember, you know, the basics of Makaton that I had learned God knows how many years before and forgotten.
I mean, that story is amazing. It really is. And I think it shines a light on just how big a deal this is. Do you know, like a lot of people still think, oh, you know, it's spiritualism and telling your future and stuff is just a laugh. It's like a hen do. And it's not. It really is. It can be life-changing. It can be life and death. You know, it is that big a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
It is. And I think, if I'd have not been a social worker, would I be as good at what I do? No. And it frightens me that there are mediums and readers out there who don't have the heart or they don't have the skills. I've recently been on some training courses. Yes, I've got a social work qualification. It's now, I got it in 1992. So it's old. And as we know, even if you go for a job now and you've got A-levels, so like me, 1982, my A-levels, they don't count for anything. They want me to have a City and Guilds level 2 maths. You know, I've got it already. I've got my O-level. it becomes stale. Your knowledge becomes stale. So I've been and I've done adult education and training level 2 to build on my experience as a teacher. I've been and I've studied peer mentoring. I've got peer mentoring level 1, level 2, to help with the coaching. It's a different style of coaching to people who've got a coaching certificate because it is more trusted friend. For me, that's been really important to go back and refresh the skills and bring it back into the mediumship and the readings that I do. But there are lots of individuals out there who press forward with their own agenda, who really need to look at their own journey of healing and spiritual growth, but also look at the degree of sensitivity, compassion that they bring to others. I think probably the nicest compliment I can have is somebody at the end of their session saying, "Oh my God, that was like sitting down with my Nana and having a conversation." It's like, "Oh, Joanne, you're like a big sister." For me, that's lovely because what they're sensing and gaining is that love that I have for them. And it is that global family we have because I've got clients. I'm the worst traveller in the world, but I've had clients in 75 different countries. In the next few days, I've got a client who's in Malawi. And it's just like, so it's my global family. I love them. There is no reason why I shouldn't love them.
If people would like to contact you or find you, where can we find you? Give yourself a plug.
If you want to look at reviews, then I'd say go to Google and put my name in, followed by Psychic Medium. If you're on Facebook, I'm known as Madame Cesar on Facebook. Instagram, Madame Cesar. Honestly, I'm not very, very tech-minded. And sometimes it takes me longer to work out how to do something. And yeah. I could be doing something else with my time, like taking the dog a walk. So I'm not very good at reels. I'm not very good at anything. But between Instagram, Madame Cesar, you can find out what shows, what Mind, Body, Spirit shows I'm at. It's just happened in June, but every year I do York International Tattoo Convention. Fantastic day out. 2 days. I absolutely love it there. Then any demonstrations, any churches I'm going to be at, I always advertise when I'm doing a demonstration online because it's usually no cost. So I'll advertise no cost and low cost opportunities to see me work. And then there are those that are ticketed, organised by other people. If I'm going to do a tea leaf reading course, how to read tea leaves, the first place it's advertised is Madame Cesar. I probably teach 3-4 times a year, but I actually like it when other people host and act as the organiser and I just come in because I am not very good at the admin, the bitty. Yeah. I'm not very good at bitty things. I like to go in and know exactly what I'm doing. If you're in the Leeds area or you can access Leeds, and again, Louise Bloomer and I have been talking about her hosting another masterclass. So it's 3 hours of fast-paced learned tea leaves, read tea leaves.
That'd be amazing. I want to come.
Between watching The Wiccan Lady and watching Madame Cesar on Facebook, you should find out about it. But quite often places go really quickly.
You got just a divine timing. When it's meant to be, it definitely will be. It
falls into place at the right time.
And I always come back to it. It's like trusting like spirit and the universe and all that jazz things. If you're open to them and you just go with the flow, things will happen. This has been a really amazing interview. Thank you so much. If people wanted to get into tea leaf reading, have you got any sort of advice for beginners, like tips or something you always say to people when they go, "How do I do this?" Putting you on the spot now.
When I do the teaching, I talk through building up skills that you need, okay? And I would actually say, go on the internet and search dot-to-dot puzzles for adults. Anybody who's got kids, the kids have had a dot-to-dot puzzle book, colouring book with puzzle dot-to-dots in it. And the child that's really astute will look and go, "Oh, I'm not doing that, it's a tractor. I'm not doing that, it's a tree," you know. And they can see just from the dots, they can put the pieces together and go, ah, it's one of those. And that's one of the skills needed for tea leaf reading. Parapsychologists have labelled them apophenia and pareidolia. So spotting patterns in random data is apophenia, and pareidolia, spotting faces and images in random data. And those are the two talents. But you also need people to practice on. So if you come to my day as a masterclass, we can have up to 20 people. So you can work with people you have never met before. If it's a whole day training, which I do recommend, because we actually go right through to introducing spirit in readings as well on a one day. With that, you're probably working with anything between 8 and 12 people. So you all get a lot of individual coaching as well to help you bring out your talent. Anybody from an artistic background, I always say, look at the white space, not the tea leaves, because an artist's eye looks at things differently to the rest of us.
And I'd also say trust your instincts. Like if you have random thoughts, if you feel in a certain way, you don't know why. I mean, I get a lot of that. Like, don't question it, just accept it. Write it down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant. Is there anything else you'd like to say or finish on?
All I'm going to say, it's been absolutely lovely having a chat with you. And we've only ever met with you as coming to me as a client. So to actually see you in a different light has been absolutely lovely. And I hope that seeing me in a different light, it's going to start a connection that we never thought we had.
You have been listening to the Bellwitch podcast, created with love and magic by me, Swales, the friendly green witch. I love to hear from you, and I absolutely love to celebrate you. If you have a podcast or a business, a witchy business, a pagan related topic you love to talk about, you can reach me on thebellwitchpodcast@yahoo.com. Send me a trailer and I will absolutely play it, because there is magic in sharing audiences amongst podcasts. Music by Jeff Harvey of Pixabay. The official Bell Witch photographer is the lovely Beverly Thornton. Thank you so much for choosing the Bell Witch podcast to fill your ears. Stay magical, witches!